You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3. It's Mailin' In Friday, brought to you by 1 in 100.
Five sick days and two floater days for me coming up.
I got it. Can we get on with it?
Hey, dude, what did I tell you? From July 2nd.
Every day is a floater day for you.
Yeah, exactly.
Who gives a f***?
No,
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Brian Hayes, Jonas Siegel of The Athletic, and Jamie Noodles McLennan, Mailin' In Friday, brought to you by 1in100.net. For a 1in100 chance of winning killer seats to any Toronto game, go to 1in100.net. Your first entry will be free. Personal day for the O-Dog today. Mudding.
Yeah, he's mudding.
He's mudding. He's
tired.
He's tired, man. He's got a lot going on. Yes. And he needed the day off. Spa day.
Yep.
For the big guy.
So Jonas is in here.
So grinding. Jonas is in here. And you were at the Leaf game last night, I'm assuming,
Jonas? I was. Yep.
And it was not necessarily a Picasso. It was an entertaining game, though, because, you know, a lot of back and forth. The Leafs played great in the third. Fun overtime. You get a point. You're in Boston tomorrow night. You got to play a lot better than that tomorrow night. But I guess the story today is about the lack of response on the Cronwell hit on Matthews, which I guess by tomorrow night puck drop comes to an end unless something happens tomorrow night and someone goes after him. But really, William Nylander not playing much in the third, which I don't think anyone should be that surprised by.
No.
Babcock shorting up the bench. I thought he looked okay, but he's not sharp, and we knew he wouldn't be sharp. But I guess we debate where he's going to play tomorrow night, because at practice today they had Kapanen playing with Matthews.
Well, don't you think that's how they'll start the game? Mm-hmm. Just kind of keep what was working and let Nylander kind of like work his way back?
Yeah. Well, he was on the fourth line, though, by the end of the night. He's not going to start on the fourth line tomorrow night.
Basically not playing.
In the third.
Yeah, they shut him down. With
they
the
shut him down.
Using him.
Yeah.
But the GOAT didn't. None of them went out. It's not like the GOAT was sneaking
GOAT
in
playing.
Shifts. Exactly, the fourth line was not playing. Or not the go, you know what I mean, Parlin, Lindholm. And Ennis. The fourth line
fourth
was
line
sat
didn't
down.
Barely
and
see anything.
Nylander was on that line by the end of the night.
The weird thing with them right now is, like, Matthews isn't, like, he's got 15 goals in 15 games, is that right?
Yeah.
He's not even, like, you can tell he's not back yet. So it's like, it's going to be interesting what they look like when everybody's actually going, like, when Matthews is back like he was at the start of the year, when Nylander's going, when they've got two power play units, like, I don't know. That's, like, we still haven't actually seen this team where it's like actually fully operational, which is interesting.
And you hope that that's the case, but look at the teams around the league. Like, injuries happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Winnipeg's lost Byfuglien. Like, Minnesota's playing in Edmonton tonight. Like, sounds like Giordano. I missed that knee. Like, so Giordano.
I couldn't find the highlight.
We talked about it last night. I didn't see the knee on knee, but Koivu's not playing against Edmonton tonight. You know, go to Tampa, Vasilevsky. There's some massive injuries throughout the National Hockey League, including Austin Matthews, who just came back off of 14 games. So that's the one challenge, is you want to see what your team looks like. You hope that team is there in the playoffs. That's ultimately what you care about.
Absolutely.
Health in April.
Peaking in December is...
I'm fine with it. Like, Nashville lost last night in Vancouver. Like, we forget P.K. Subban's been out for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know...
And I think Forsberg's out, too.
Right. They're nicked up. Like, teams are nicked up. The league is really at an all-time high for me as far as parity outside the... What Hayes calls them the... Mount Rushmore, there's four or five teams.
I think there's four or five teams, and I think there's the four teams in the West that are out of it. I think L.A., Vancouver, St. Louis, and Chicago are pretty much done.
And then, in the East, there's some real parity.
Yeah, there's a lot of it. There's a massive buildup of middle-class teams that are fighting for positioning.
Yeah.
And that's what comes with the salary cap. And I think that's become a reality for a number of years. We've seen it. But, you know, lost in all of the Matthews, Cronwall, team toughness, Nylander stuff, is Marner racked up his 40th point on the season last night in 29 games. And he is in the company of Doug Gilmour and Daryl Sittler in terms of guys, forwards, who have put up those kind of numbers in less than 30 games. Like, that is not something that we should be...
You don't
gloss breezing
over that.
Past. Yeah, you shouldn't gloss over that kind of stuff.
Sure.
I mean, I know we're getting caught up in all these different records and all these different highlights, and every single individual game is going to offer us up a different talking point. And I'm not suggesting Mitch Marner hasn't been granted the love that he deserves. He's gotten a lot of love in the city. But when you start putting up numbers, a team's been around for 100 years, and you're in the company of Gilmore and Sittler, both of whom have numbers retired, it's a pretty good company to be in.
Well, how much do you guys think this is like him making a jump? And kind of like he made a jump in the second half last year.
Yeah.
How much of this is him playing with Tavares? How much of this is a power play? Like,
well, it goes hand in hand. I mean, you play with great players, and you're a great player. Like, you're going to see results. Like, when Mitch Marner at Christmas last year had four goals and Babs was moving him up and down the lineup and kind of... I call it giving him a jolt. I think he was letting him know, like, hey, I need you to play a certain way. He's done it with Willie. He hasn't done it with Austin because Austin doesn't need that, didn't need that. I think Austin's details, like, people forget Austin played a year of pro hockey before it came over. So I think he had acclimated into a little bit more of a mature game before Mitch and Willie showed up. Willie spent some time in the minors. Like, so Babs needs to see something for him to judge. Austin is at another level, but Mitch, I think he wanted to, like, for lack of better words, make him earn it a little bit. And then from January on, this is the player that we have seen and expecting. There's a trajectory there.
Including in the playoffs where he was their best forward, their most effective player maybe overall.
Yeah.
And that's another important, you know, point here when we're, like, Nylander is in the crosshairs because of the stalemate, and then eventually he gets the money, and he got a lot of money.
Right.
You know, and last night you could see it on Twitter. People are like, Dylan Larkin got 6-1. He looks like a pretty good comparable. He got 6-1. Willie got 7. So, you know, that's going to happen because we're here right now, and it will probably continue. But I don't know what Nylander's going to look like in the spring.
Well,
it applies to Marner and Matthews as well. They've only played 13 playoff games in their career.
Yeah.
But that's really why you're paying these guys. Yeah, to get there. But you hope once it comes down, once you really get into the crunch, can these guys do it? But can these guys win 16 games in the spring? And we don't know. You know, they've got to prove it to us, but you're paying them before they do. Let's say they go out in the first round this year. Matthews is still getting 12-5.
Oh, yeah.
Marner's still getting his 9 or whatever.
9? Really?
Whatever it is. What, you think he's getting more than that?
I would, if I was his team, for sure. I would push.
Well, you could push for it, but anyway, we'll get to that a little bit later. I mean, Kucherov got 9-5, and what if Mikko Rantanen signs for 8? Why would Marner get 10? You know?
Yeah, anyway. I mean, it's certainly, we've got nothing but time to
debate. I'm not trying to get into the contract talk. I'm just saying, you know, come the spring, that's when you really are supposed to make your bones. And
but I think he almost has 40 assists now, and like they played 29
games.
Like Mitch Marner,
how old's the season?
He's got 34 assists.
He's got
6 goals,
40 points in 29 games.
Yeah, like,
no, he's been spectacular. I'm not disputing that. You can't.
Yeah.
Here's a longtime NFLer, 3-time Super Bowl champ. He's an NFL analyst with Nesson down in Boston and The Athletic Boston. Did you send him a Slack message? Or
I did not.
Okay, here's Matt Chatham. What's up, Matt?
What's up, guys? How we doing?
We're doing well. We got Jonas in here from The Athletic as well, and he's been pumping the tires of this Slack company, this messaging company. I've never heard of it before, but are you on it because you work for The Athletic or what?
I know nothing of it. You're bombarding me here. I have no clue.
That's
Slack.
Awesome.
What is Slack?
I love it. See, Jonas, why are you, like, no one is on this stupid app. You're the only guy that's promoting it.
How do people communicate with you, Matt? They just send
Slack?
You emails?
Maybe I'm just tech dumb here. What is it?
It's like an instant messaging app, basically, that apparently everyone at The Athletic, except for you, uses.
Yeah. Apparently, I'm a little slow.
That's fine.
That may be all it is.
No, I'm with you, dude. I'd never heard of it either. Jonas looks at me like I'm a caveman because I haven't heard it or used it, but it's neither here nor there.
You still have a Hotmail account, so.
I do. I support Hotmail. I love Hotmail. We were talking about that Derrick Henry run last night. Well, he had multiple big runs, but the stiff arm and just how vicious that is, man. It's savage. Have you ever been on the wrong side of a stiff arm?
I don't think I've ever been stiff or real dramatically. I have been gotten the crackback block. I think that's sort of your embarrassing thing as a linebacker. You know, you get hit from the outside by even a smaller guy, a receiver you never see coming, or flying down the field on a punt. I had one in the AFC Championship game, first time we played the Steelers, I can't think of his name right now, but big fullback for the Steelers at the time. He peeled back and hit me in the side of the ear, and I never saw him. And I just remember, you know, this is pre-CTE, or at least knowing what it was that was going on, but I just remember sort of wandering back to our sideline and watching as they kept playing it over and over and over again on the big screen as the place went nuts. So, yeah, I mean, I certainly had my embarrassing ones, but stiff arms, not so much.
Yeah. Well, I guess if you're playing a game, man, at some point you're getting hit, regardless of what position you play. What did you make of the reaction to the Jaguars? It seemed like everyone was watching them last night, just suggesting they quit, and they've quit all season. Do you buy into that narrative?
It felt that way. I mean, the thing I always hate about stuff like that is you have really varied locker rooms. I mean, you've got guys, you can get two, three, four, even five guys or whatever it is that just give poor effort in a situation like that. And even on bad teams, and when I was in New York, I was on bad teams, you still may have, 40-plus guys who are taking it professionally as they would week in, week out. But the thing that sucks is few people let up, especially in a big spot, especially in a big night like that. And, it agitates because it paints you all the same way. It paints the logo that way, paints the market that way, paints the head coach that way. And that part sucks because you can definitely find them on film. And when you're on a bad team, people will start giving people side eye once you get back into those team media rooms and you start reviewing film and you see guys that don't go to the ground, sort of try to arm tackle and stand and push and not just completely sell out. You're really expected to in the NFL to play the same way. And you know that there's going to be that tiny percentage of guys that don't, that kind of pack it in and take it too much like a job than we like to, but it certainly does happen.
With longtime NFLer and now NFL analyst Matt Chatham, in terms of coaching changes, and we're going to see it this weekend with the Packers, first time in over 12 years, Mike McCarthy will not be on the sideline. And they've got Atlanta in town, who's equally as disappointing. Atlanta had pretty decent expectations, and they're 4-8. The Packers are 4-7-1. But McCarthy's out. You got a new coach. The season's over. What kind of reaction are you expecting to see out of the Packers?
That's a million-dollar question because this always goes – this is kind of a cop-out answer, but it goes one of two ways. I mean, especially for someone, think if you're someone who wagers on games and, kind of pay attention to the league that way, it's really one of those situations where sometimes, like the Greg Williams thing, all of a sudden a team that's been looking terribly, a little tweak here or there, and all of a sudden people rally around someone and all the problems seemingly go away. Or the other thing happens, and they look at the guy in-house and say, hey, Joe Philbin, we know you're not going to be here, 2 months from now or whatever it is, and they're not particularly energized about what's going on, and they actually play worse than what was happening before. So you kind of need to know the personalities in the room and how they'll respond, and quite frankly, what the real problem was, if it was actually the head coach or if there's more systemic kind of things going on with a particular team. So, you hope they respond better because there is some talent in the room, but it's a flawed roster too, and that often happens where, sometimes you're missing a few pieces, you're also not performing well, and sometimes after many, 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 many years in the same organization, maybe some guys, the message just isn't getting through. So you understand the change. But on the flip side of that, Danny Quinn, I mean, he was my old coach. I love him to death, and I think he's an excellent coach. And that's another one where it's sort of a head scratch. I certainly hope he's not on hot seat or anything like that. That it's just a down year, but there was a lot of expectations there too as well.
Well, that mentality you just spoke of has just never crept up in New England, and you know this. You won three Super Bowls. You played there for a long time. They have the ability, the opportunity this weekend to go down to Miami, win the game, and then they win the division, the AFC East, for the 10th straight year, 10 years in a row. Yeah. And I kind of look at this in multiple ways. I mean, everyone pumps the tires of New England, myself included. You can't fight it. I mean, they are just an exceptionally run organization. They're a dynasty, and they deserve all the accolades they receive. But there's also a part of me that says, with this stat, it speaks to New England, but also speaks to the ineptitude of the rest of the division. Like Miami, Buffalo, and New York, for the most part, have been brutal for a decade. And this is another example of it. The Packers are going to... It's not like anyone's fighting for it. Even if New England loses this weekend, Miami's not going to run the table and beat them. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think this is obviously a hot topic in New England. It's something that generally comes up, and I'm not obviously not accusing you of doing it, but I'm just saying it's usually brought up in the social media world, and then you literally introduce this topic, and then there's like a thread of 1,000 responses because people, and again, it's certainly not something I've researched. It's more just reading theirs and taking them at face value, but the Patriots have obviously dominated the division, but they've been better against the other divisions than the other top people as well, and mm-hmm. then their record against, I guess, the rest of the NFL is better than what you would expect it to be. And then, oddly enough, if you remove the division winners in each of the divisions throughout the league, and then just look at the remaining records of all the other non-winners over the course of that same time, the AFC East division teams actually have closer to the higher overall winning percentage, which didn't make sense to me until I saw it. But it's something at least people in the market are very salty about, that it somehow, you know, denigrates the accomplishment that they've just been bad. One thing I will tell you, you know, playing both with the Jets and with New England, there has not been a consistent winner of any kind in the division, obviously. But from having to play those games and, you know, yes, continuing to compile wins, there is a sense of, okay, we're better than these guys, but they're tough tests, and that's not something that will probably, you know, kind of not sound sincere because you're always winning. But the defenses in those crews, especially Buffalo, sometimes Miami, not always Miami, typically the Jets, especially back to the more recent stuff with Sheldon Richardson and Wilkerson and then Williams on the inside and the linebacker crews they've had and the defenses, all that kind of stuff. So you get good teams, but there haven't really been any good offenses over the last decade. And I think that sometimes colors how good they are. At the end of the day, none of those teams are winning the division. That's true. But, you know, it's not as if you don't get tested week in, week out. You see some of the better defensive lines. That's often the case with Brady, which is such a big deal when they go outside the division, especially crossing conferences, and you say, okay, got to get Tom Brady off the spot, got to get this great pass rush, got to get to him. And he's often seen some of the best rushes he'll see either in Buffalo in a typical year, Miami or the Jets. So they get tested, but they don't get beat, if that makes any sense.
For sure. Great stuff, Matt, as always, man. Enjoy the rest of the weekend. We'll do it again down the road. Thank you.
All right, guys. Take care.
There's Matt Chatham, Nesson NFL analyst with The Athletic down in Boston. Never heard of Slack before.
I think Slack is... Jonas is, it's like a startup or something, and Jonas is in on ground level.
Yeah.
Looking to get
fake news.
Guys,
like, you are fake news.
There are people who work for, like, I guess, multimedia companies, maybe?
Yeah.
Like, not like...
Like
I
us?
Mean, like startups, I guess. Maybe it's more of a thing.
Well,
maybe it's
this
more
is
like
an employee
hip.
Of The Athletic, though, and this guy's like, I've never heard of it before. Why are you forced to use it? Maybe you should talk to somebody and say, I'm not doing this anymore.
Well, I'm Google. Like, it's like Slack download. Like, it's out there.
All right.
It's real. It's not. Guys are...
Well, I'm not saying it's not real. And listen, it's the same thing with what I just mentioned about the Pats. I mean, you are not... You can't be in charge of the other teams in the league. You have to do your own work and your own business. And
right.
Belichick, Brady, the drafting, the developing, the fact that they win every single year, even though they pick in the high 20s or low 30s every single year, they're always in salary cap issues because they have so many good players. For them to just consistently be this great... speaks for itself. I mean, this is a dynasty unlike anything I've seen in my lifetime in any sport, really. But the Bills, the Jets, and the Dolphins have collectively been pretty awful at the same time. And you look at the Pats' record against the Bills and the Jets in particular, it's not even close. Like we mentioned earlier this year, Brady has more wins at New Era Field than any other starting quarterback for the Bills in this century. Tyrod Taylor had like 14 wins in that building. Yeah. Brady's got 15.
It's crazy. I was just looking at Belichick's salary. He makes $7.5 million. Like
worth every
probably,
penny.
But he probably has big bonuses too. Like you make it to the final. You know, you make it to the Super Bowl. Like to me, like this guy's. I'd love to see what his net worth would be. He's been doing it for many years.
Yeah, he's probably been making, you know, on average
$3 to $5 million.
Yeah,
for
with inflation,
10 years
and
plus. Then and you throw in another.
He's 10 driving
years
the Chevy Tahoe, like Kawhi.
Well, yeah, like maybe he's like Kawhi's got $100 million or $100 million contract he had signed. I think $94 million, and he's driving the Tahoe.
The 90. Awesome. What was it?
97.
97.
Chevy Tahoe.
Respect.
Nothing but respect.
Let me ask you this though: like, if they had like a good quarterback, but like not an all-time great. Do you think this would be happening?
No, of course not.
No.
So, do you think he's more replaceable? less replaceable to this than Belichick, or
I'm not. You know what? Honestly, I have too much respect for both of them to even give an answer.
Like,
because I think
Castle,
they're both so interchangeable.
Was the guy?
Yeah, and everyone uses that and as a way to denigrate what Brady has done.
No, I'm using it to like compliment Brady. I'm saying like if Castle was their quarterback.
Yeah, but when Castle was for that 1 year, they won 11 games.
Good. Yeah, but that was 1 year.
Yeah. And oh, no way.
Yeah.
He went to Kansas City. They gave him a big deal, they flushed him out. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not that.
No, no question. I think, you know, it's such a great debate who's more valuable. It's impossible to really determine. They're both so interchangeable, and they've been there for so long and had so much success together.
You think they leave together, too?
I think there's a chance. Yeah, I think so.
Well, Brady apparently wants to play, like, for a while.
Yeah, 5 more years. But do you think Belichick, I was just reading, is 66 years old. Like, how long does he want to coach? Till he's 80?
Yeah, I can't see that. No, I think he's
80-year-old in, like, hoodies and cutoff T-shirts and stuff.
I wonder who's
the oldest coach?
The oldest NFL coach in history.
Wasn't it, like, Tom Landry? Tom Landry looked like
Landry was in Dallas for over 30 years, I think.
Coughlin, when he was at New York, was up there, no?
Yeah, he would have been 70-something, I think.
I feel like the coaches were older back a while back. Like,
but that's
back
probably
in the day.
Just TV. It made them look that old. Like, Vince Lombardi was probably like 28.
Would smoke 2 packs a day and cigars. And I don't know, but I felt like Tom Landry, he had the hat. Like, he
was there for
like
a long
time. He was 70
time.
Years old.
He was a grizzled
vet. 50.
How old is Hitchcock? 60?
I think he's 66, isn't he?
Yeah. We'll get to the bottom of it. Alan Mullen, they're pulling the strings back there. They're not mailing it in. Adnan Virk from ESPN will join us. We'll get into the winter meetings upcoming. The Raptors in action tonight. See what Adnan's got in store. And back into the Leafs and future headlines later in the hour. All right, we'll get to future headlines here in a moment. Our buddy Adnan Virk of ESPN will join us. Shocking development off the air, though. Shocking development, because Adnan's a big movie freak, so we're going to get into some movie stuff with him. And Noodles, you're a freak as well.
Yeah. Nice.
Jonas just admitted during the break. Go ahead, explain yourself. Explain what you just revealed.
But I'll defend you, but not defend you. I'll attack you after.
Okay.
But like, you asked me about what? Creed, right?
Creed. Because I just watched Creed.
You watched the second one?
No, the first.
Oh, you saw the first one.
We want to see the second one.
Okay. And then you said what?
I have not seen, I think I've seen the first Rocky, but nothing else.
You've seen Rocky 1, but you have not seen 2 through 5.
I don't think you'll take this as badly. I don't think I've seen most of the early Star Wars.
Yeah, I'm not.
I guess I can let you off the hook on that. I've seen them all, but how have you not seen the Rocky movies?
I don't know.
You've never seen Rocky 2, 3, 4? None of these?
I guess when I was a kid watching Rocky, you'd watch him, and then afterwards you'd come out like, right. Everyone come out of
couldn't
the theater,
wait to fight.
You're ready to like box.
Eddie Murphy had that great bit. Have you ever heard Eddie Murphy's bit? Oh,
yeah.
You got to hear it. It's the best.
I'm pretty sure I have, but
it's very, very good. It's a little bit offside and offensive
sure
in today's world, but here's our buddy Adnan Virk from ESPN. What do you make of Jonas admitting that he's only seen Rocky 1?
Well, I'll be honest with you. Of all the great trilogies, like, I'm not psychotic Rocky fan, but having said that, I don't rewatch them over and over, but I would at least make an attempt to see them at least once. Now, I'm glad Rocky 1 he's seen. That's the best one, of course, one best picture, which is outrageous because it'd be Taxi Driver and Network, but whatever. It's a great film. But yeah, Rocky 4, just for the kitsch value, you know what I mean? That's one of those so bad, it's so good. You know, the
right.
Montages, Apollo and Rocky running on the beach, you know, the music's so brutal. I mean, the training montage, like, that's one of the, if I can win, you can win, like all that kind of stuff. That's,
yeah.
It is a little surprising, Jonas, is that averse to at least diving into those rocks.
Well, I'm just jumping in here because how we got the conversation going, too, is he said that he saw Creed 1 and then wants to see Creed 2. And I said, I think Stallone's done. Like, he's come out and admitted, like, I'm not doing any more of these Creeds. But, like, Stallone has gotten weirder and weirder looking, like he's
well, who's gotten weirder looking, him or John Travolta?
Well, I don't know. I mean, Stallone looks like his head looks like a half chewed caramel right now, like it's really weird.
He's got a weird vibe going on.
And that's like for a guy who's not a boxer, like Mickey Rourke, obviously, you know, handsome
guy,
terrific acting, but he was actually boxing. Like, he, unlike Stallone, wanted to be a boxer, and now his face is just a mess. He's had so much plastic surgery. That's part of why he was so great in The Wrestler, because you're like, yeah, this is the story of Mickey Rourke. This is like an autobiography. This guy's a mess right now. His life's over.
He was great.
Stallone, you're right. Stallone, listen, why do you have the cauliflowered ears? Like, you're not actually a fighter. You're an actor. You're a pretty boy. But his face looks so, it's kind of like a raisin. It just looks shriveled up by now.
Yeah. That is a great point.
Like, he wasn't a boxer.
Travolta's a good call, too. You know, Travolta, I remember watching The People vs. O.J. Simpson, that show that was on FX.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking to myself, either he's a great actor giving a bad performance, or he's a bad actor giving a great performance. I couldn't figure out which one it was. He was. You couldn't look away at him playing Shapiro and they going through all the O.J. stuff again, but you're right. Physically, he just looks like a different person.
Now. Yeah, it's strange, man. I remember I lost my job and I went to see The Wrestler that night. I have never been in a darker place. I remember thinking, this is it. Like, I'm going to turn into The Wrestler. I'm going to be living in a van down by the river. Yeah.
Later that night, Hayes went to the brass rail, just to fall in love with a stripper.
Yes.
Looked like Marissa Tomei, didn't work out.
No, just drowning all of my sorrows.
That's hilarious.
Anyway, what do you make of this whole Oscar stuff? We'll get to sports in a moment, but you're such a big movie guy. Are you going to host the Oscars? Have they reached out or what?
Well, for those who are unaware, I have actually hosted the Oscars All Access the last 2 years, which is the live stream show on Facebook, and I'm literally right backstage. So I was hoping, you know, when they win the Oscar and they go meet the press, I'm literally in that room. That's where we broadcast, my buddy Ben Lyons. So Lyons and I are hoping, listen, we're like the understudy. You know, if you're watching Hamilton, the guy who's backstage in case Lin-Manuel Miranda goes down, we'd be the guys. But I don't think we have quite the requisite star value. In terms of Kevin Hart, here's the strange thing, Hayes. He said that he put it on Instagram, right? The Academy called him and goes, listen, you got some tweets, homophobic, you either got to apologize or you're done. So he posts that and then says, I'm out. Which I said, okay, I'm not going to say it's right or wrong, but he stuck to his guns by saying, well, I'm not going to be forced into an apology. I just won't do it. But then he apologized on Twitter for what he said. So my point is that either just go, hey, man, that was 8 years ago. It's a different person. Why are you guys bringing that stuff up? Social media, they're not fair. I don't care. I'm not going to do it. Or you're right. It was stupid. I'm so sorry. My bad. I'll make up to it. I'm going to do a great job. He kind of went both ways. He said, I'm out. And then he apologized after. I don't get it.
Yeah, strange PR. Strange. And like, my understanding is Kevin Hart, it was always his dream to host the Oscars. Like, he really wanted to do it. So to your point, if you're going to apologize eventually anyway, you might as well do it and save the gig, right? Because I think they would have let him off the hook if he apologized.
I think so, man. Listen, we as Canadians, of course, love saying sorry, and Americans are very much, if you show you're contrite and genuine about it, then it's fine. I mean, I don't see these things happen and be that callous about it, but honestly, those views that he espoused, if he was, as you said, proper about it and did it publicly, and said, listen, it was a long time ago, it was a different guy, I'm a comedian, sometimes we force the topic, right, politically incorrect, trying to be funny, I get that it's not funny, and if I hurt anybody, I'm sorry. That's it. Move on.
Yeah.
I think it's a great gig. You know, now the PR has become, wow, nobody wants to host the Oscars. And I'm like, listen, the way that it's a can't win is that the ratings have been going down, but they go down for everything, right? You look at ratings for us in sports. You look at whatever the top 20 shows on TV are. Like, everything's gone down now, right? People are streaming. They're watching conventional television less. So I don't think if I'm the host, I care that, oh, like Jimmy Kimmel last year, oh, it's the lowest rated Oscars ever. I'm like, well, whatever. I can't fight that. You know what I mean? I think it'd be a blast to do because you've got a great team of writers. You've got producers that you're working with that are stellar. You're meeting all the stars. Like, just go up there and have a blast. You can't control the results, right? You guys do a great radio show. Whatever the ratings are, okay, well, I can't control that.
Yeah, exactly.
Same thing as a host. I don't care if the ratings are there. I'm going to do a great job and go on from there. So
that's right.
There's a little bit. I heard somebody saying, God forbid this happens, let's get Whoopi Goldberg to host. I said, oh, God, she's already done it four times. I don't need a Whoopi Goldberg in my life,
no,
right?
No, let's get more creative and exactly.
Yeah, absolutely. Somebody mentioned, and this is the one, of course, I love, is Ricky Gervais, because he skewers all of the celebrities when he did the Golden Globes. He might be too off-color and too politically correct, but he's hysterical. Like, I think if you want to shake it up, Ricky Gervais will definitely upset some people.
I'm with you on that. I think that would be a spectacular decision. Speaking of ratings, we're chatting with Adnan Virk of ESPN. My understanding is the Raptors game on Thursday night with the Sixers in town, or on Wednesday night, actually did pretty decent ratings on
ESPN.
Fabulous.
And listen, and I know it, guys, as a Canadian, of course my heart's always back home, but I get tired now of all these tweets I get from Canadians going, oh, ESPN hates us and typical Americans against us. I'm like, well, listen, I'll be real clear about this. It's all about economics, all right? I've asked all my bosses, trust me, nobody is hyping up the fact we should be showing the Raptors every night. But they tell me, listen, all the people watching Canada, that does not count towards the ratings in America. Now, that tells you some of the fact the rating was still good, because that shows the Raptors are just a great team right now. So a guy in Kansas goes, all right, fine, I don't know any Raptors fans, but this is the best team in the East right now. And hey, Kawhi Leonard's must-see TV, and Lowry's averaging 10 assists per game, and wow, how about this Pascal Siakam? He's incredible. Then I'm in for it. So I think the lesson here is smart for ESPN and for U.S. broadcasters. If the Raptors are as good as advertised, then people will watch. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, my executives are saying, God, no, please, we don't want the Raptors in the finals. This is going to hurt the ratings dollar. But you're right, Hayes. That number, the fact it was a good number against Philly, which I think right now the top two teams in the Eastern Conference, that definitely bodes well. And as far as Toronto putting on a big product, well, ESPN, to their, you know, to their deference, they said, we're going to do the whole thing. They did all access Toronto all day. So Nick Nurse was on our morning show, Golic and Wing on the radio. Doris Burke was there doing stories all day, interviewed Kyle Lowry. So I thought ESPN did a good job of kind of saying, all right, fine. I get the Canadians get bitter and say, oh, you guys don't care. You know, we're in Toronto. You don't, you know, all the stereotypes and such. I think ESPN said, you know what? We'll give you the due. And thankfully, the people watched. It was, yeah. And the Raptors held their end of the bargain, more importantly, and won the game.
Well, what was funny about that, too, Radnor, we've been obviously talking a lot about Kawhi up here. And Noodles mentioned this earlier today, that Kawhi is slowly but surely morphing into his favorite athlete. And it's not just a Toronto thing. It's because he's so unassuming.
Yeah.
And he just doesn't care about anything. And ESPN came up, and I guess they requested a sit-down. And he's like, nah, I'm good. he didn't sit down. Like, everyone else was like, yeah, absolutely. Lowry, Masai, Nurse. Kawhi had no interest. And I like that. It's consistent. He is who he is, and he's not going to change.
Absolutely. And I mean, you can ask Masai. I talked to Adrian Wojnarowski, of course, our NBA insider for ESPN. Nobody's more plugged in than him. And he goes, listen, Masai said from day one, he goes, I do this trade 100 out of 100 times. Like, anybody who said, and by the way, this is an unfair label, but it is funny, DeMar to regular season. If you still wanted him on the team, if you can't see after the quarter mark of the year just how instrumental Kawhi is in being a better player, you just haven't been following basketball. Like, DeRozan is a great scorer who is limited in other abilities and then failed to lift it up come playoff time. Kawhi is the guy who's been a playoff finals MVP, who can score, who can, he's leading the team in rebounding, he can distribute, and he's an elite defender. Like, I got into an argument with Richard Jefferson, the NBA player who was doing some stuff for us in the summer. He said, well, Kawhi's not as good a defender as you think. I said, what are you talking about? He goes, it's more pop system. I played for the Spurs. It's all pop. And I go, listen, let me tell you something. DeRozan's a good dude, but he was allergic to defense. So if Kawhi can at least be the guy, that's a huge difference. And Woj was telling me, he goes, Kawhi goes to Nick Nurse and says, give me the other team's best guy. Like, I'm not going to hide on defense. This isn't like, and I love Steph Curry, but Steph's not going to guard the other team's best player. He's an average defender, an incredible offensive player. Kawhi's going, no, give me their best, and I'm going to play my best, and I don't care. So you have to appreciate that. Even if he only stays 1 year in Toronto, even if he goes to L.A., as everyone is assuming to be the case, if the Raptors make the East Final, God forbid, let's get excited. What if the Raptors actually win the title and the Raptors can give him an extra year and more money? You don't think he you know, has second thoughts and says, all right, so much for that L.A. plan. I want to stay here in Toronto.
Yeah, but as Jamie pointed out, he's driving like a 97 Tahoe.
Chevrolet Tahoe.
He doesn't really want the money.
I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we can learn a couple things from that. Maybe that's just an NBA player thing. Remember Matt Bonner? Spurs used to love the fact he used to ride the rocket, you know, a little TTC. And when you're economically frugal, I don't know what that's about with the Tahoe. That is disappointing, though. You're right. He has to upgrade to an Escalade.
Yeah, come on, dude. Like, get with the century anyway. Mix in a 2001 Tahoe.
How about like a Prius?
He's not fitting one of those, Joe. Is that the car you drive?
No.
You drive a Prius every day of the week. I could picture it. Noodles?
Yeah, I could see it. I could
95 on the 401 in a Prius. That's what I picture out of you, Jonas. anyway, always great catching up with you, Adnan. We'll see where the Oscars goes, who ends up hosting, and I'm sure you'll be tweeting about it constantly, so I'm looking forward to it.
I can see a little sarcasm there, Hayes, but I appreciate the pub. And by the way, I loved how this interview went because, you know, producer, when he caught a hold of me, Joseph, we're going to talk about the Jays and offseason and hot stove. So all that research I did went right down the tube.
Sorry about
that,
buddy.
If you want to do this, I'm thrilled to do it. Thanks,
it's always
boys.
Great to have you. Thanks, buddy. There he is.
Thanks, boys. Take care.
Adnan Virk of ESPN.
He's awesome.
Yeah, we were intending on getting into...
You were going to talk Jays with him?
Jays and stuff like that, and we just started talking about Rocky.
Well, one thing I have to do to defend myself about that, so I looked, the first four were made before I was born. Yeah. So,
well, how old are you? 35?
Nah, 32.
You're 32? You look older than him. And what are you, 35?
Well, I'm 35.
He's doing well.
I need the beard.
It's the beard. That's what it is.
That beard is not weird. You've always had a beard, basically.
Since I was in like 10th grade.
Yeah. Like, I've known Jonas for probably 10 years.
10th grade?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It wasn't this good.
It wasn't as full.
Yeah.
No, that is your go-to, man. Well, it would throw me off so much if I saw you without a beard.
I think I've shaved it like twice since 10th grade. And it looks weird.
Not since I've known you.
Yeah.
You should try it.
Nah.
No?
I look too young.
Yeah, Jonas has got the look going, man. Well, but you're right about Rocky. Like, it is, it's like, but like The Godfathers. Have you seen both of them?
Yes, I've seen all of them.
They were made in the 70s,
Rocky's,
right?
There'll be a Rocky marathon on a Sunday on a TBS one day.
TSN has the rights to it and plays it, I believe.
Yeah, like that's where you catch a lot of the time.
Yeah.
Is same thing with Godfathers and Shawshank and all these classic movies. You watch them when they're on, like on rerun.
The Shining.
Yeah. Shining's classic.
Very good. We'll get to our best bets brought to you by Proline and future headlines next. All right, time now for our best bets brought to you by Proline. Looking at the NFL board, some big spreads and lopsided in terms of the talent on both teams and where both teams are going. But they're divisional games. I'm going to take the points. Tampa's getting plus 10 at home against New Orleans. They beat New Orleans in New Orleans week one. I know New Orleans had a longer week, and they're coming off a loss. I think they'll win, but 10 points. And Miami, New England always kind of struggles a little bit down there. You're getting 8.5, I'm going to take the fish. And I'm on the opposite side of it. I'm taking the points with Atlanta in Green Bay. I know Green Bay has a new coach. Atlanta has not been great this year, but the Packers have been terrible. So I'm going to take the points with Atlanta. Throw down 20, you can score 100. You can find my picks on Twitter, at TSN 1050 Radio, and get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game. It lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, get way into the game. Leafs Bruins tomorrow night. Always a fun game.
Be a good game.
Should be a good one. I mean, both the Leafs are healthy.
They're healthy.
They're healthy. The Bruins aren't.
Bruins are nicked up. But they got McAvoy back 2 games ago, so that's a plus. But, I mean, Bergeron still sounds like he's progressing, but not there. Chara, same thing. So a couple big pieces they're missing, but they still have. I mean, Pastrnak's a superstar. Marchand's a superstar.
And they love playing the Leafs.
Yeah, and DeBrusque's a really good player. Like, they've got a couple pieces there that have at least kept him afloat for sure.
What do you expect out of Nylander tomorrow night?
Better. Like, I just think every game we'll see him look more and more like himself, and like 2 weeks from now we'll be like, he's okay.
Mm-hmm. Time on ice.
Oh,
great. 14 minutes and 12 seconds.
I say close to 15. Because he did get 3 minutes of power play time yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he got a chance to practice today, which I don't know how much that really means. But at least you got, it was probably like a 30-minute high-paced practice, but it's better than nothing.
Exactly.
That's why, like, putting him in yesterday, I didn't think was a big deal. Like, even if he practiced the day before, it's not like he was going to feel that much better in the game.
Right. You know it's coming. He's going to have some growing pains.
Yeah.
It's going to happen.
Just timing.
Future Headlines is brought to you by 1in100.net. For a 1in100 chance at winning killer seats to any Toronto game, go to 1in100.net. Your first entry is free. That's 1in100.net. Nylander looks sharp and plays bigger minutes in Boston tomorrow night, or the same script as Thursday. We effectively just touched on this.
Yeah, for me, same script as yesterday. A little bit better, but it's not all of a sudden going to be brilliant out of nowhere.
Yeah, I think so, too.
I can see him like score a power play goal or something like that.
I can see him getting points. Like, I can see him. Yeah. I thought he would have scored. I didn't think he was going to score last night. I thought he would have got an assist somewhere along the line.
Chip in, just for the storyline.
Exactly. But didn't
think he
happen.
Plays in the third? You think he gets minutes late in the third?
Yeah.
Depends on the game, too. Like, Babs was smart. He had nothing going. The team was asleep for 2 periods. You got to give Detroit credit, too.
Yeah,
like, Detroit did a good job of clogging up. The one thing they did do was there was no stretch passes. Detroit just clogged the middle. And I think that was a Blashill thing, saying, like, this is how they play. We need to shut any type of stretch pass through the middle, speed, so that the Leafs can't get entries. And how many times the Leafs, I think it was in the second, they iced a puck. I don't know how many times, because they were just trying stretch passes that weren't there.
Yeah.
So
no, Detroit's been better than I think people understand. Like, they're over 500.
Well, I read an article today. I think it was an Athletic one.
Nice.
Where she, like it's all
Jonas.
To do with Jonas.
I'll send a Slack
saying like Detroit is taking solace and like everyone was kind of frowned upon them as a team. But they beat Toronto last night, and they beat some other heavy hitter coming into it. They said 2 big teams in a row, and they're playing a lot better, considering the team is nicked up. The Bertuzzi kid got the two games.
They have some like interesting pieces. Chalowski. Yeah.
Chalowski's going to be a player.
Yeah, but it's just, and he's like 20. Yeah.
Mantha's injured now. After that fight, they've actually had a couple of dust ups that team too. That Bertuzzi kid's got. He'll get in there.
He's what you're talking about.
Yeah, that's, he's a guy that kind of he can provoke it though. He doesn't just answer.
But
he
that's
provokes
today's
a lot.
Fighter.
Sure.
A guy who plays, but just plays an agitator, like a Matthew Tkachuk. Brady Tkachuk. I think those players are going to be, those are today's power forward. Like Mark Stone plays hard like that. Like those types of players, I think.
And they'll chip in.
Exactly.
The O-Dog comes back refreshed after a three-day weekend, a personal day today, or he returns on Monday worse than ever.
He'll be crabby on Monday for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think I'm going to get the call on Sunday?
No.
He doesn't feel.
He needs a four-day weekend?
No, I think he'll be come in, but he'll be crabby, and then he'll be chirping, saying, well, "You know, I heard what you guys said."
Oh, he's been listening the whole day. He's going to bring up mudding, that's what he's been. He's been mudding. He was he had a personal day at the spa. He needed a day off.
Yeah,
and he's been mudding like Lewis in the suits.
Exactly.
The suits.
Yeah.
How do you feel about suits now without Meghan Markle and Mike is gone too?
I like Katherine Heigl came in.
She's pretty good.
She's really good.
Very
I liked
solid.
Season 7.
I'm not caught up yet.
No. Okay, I won't tell you what happens. It was good.
I know they leave, though.
I just got through that Prime Video, Jack Ryan. It was outstanding.
Wouldn't you be furious if you were Mike the actor? Like, you're written out. You're out of the show because Meghan Markle gets married to a prince and has to leave the country?
He's Canadian, too.
Yeah, he's from Toronto.
Didn't he want to leave, too, though?
Oh, maybe he did.
Well, he's going to cash in, isn't she? Like,
well, she's not paying him any money. I don't think the royal family is saying, hey, Mike, sorry.
Yeah, misspoke. Yeah.
Harry I kept thinking David is mowing your lawn.
I thought they were married. That's why I was like, she's married. Yeah.
Rachel,
wake
Mike.
Up. It's the end of the day. It's Friday.
Prenup.
He married,
prenup.
Rachel, who's rich.
Yeah. Good point. All right, Jonas. Ridiculous. Good seeing you, man.
Right,
thanks for doing
boys.
This. From The Athletic. You got anything Way cooking this weekend that we should be looking out for? Or?
I'm working on something.
All right.
Next week.
Good stuff. Slack us if you can.
Hit me up on Slack.
Noodles, enjoy your weekend. We're back Monday at 4 p.m.
We're going to chat then.